Welcome to the Bad Little Jesus podcast. I'm the Bad Little Jesus, Gabriel. You may think that's a strange name, or why would a podcast be called something like that? Well, the history of the word Christians is interesting. It's something that began in ancient Antioch, and it was a derogatory term. At least most likely it's considered that it was probably derogatory by the people of the non-believing community, making derogatory statements about those that follow Jesus. The word Christian, it literally means little Christs. And so then why? So it's like a little Jesus. So why bad little Jesus? Well, the truth is that I'm a believer and I attempt to follow Jesus. Have been for almost 20 years, but I don't particularly believe to be consider myself to be an exemplary or perfect model of that in any way. And so it kind of relates to where I want to go and what I want to share. Because the origins of this endeavor is interesting, and as is the timing. This is something that's been on my heart for about 2 years, but I've hesitated to do it for some of the reasons that would be implied by what I just said. So many excuses have come to my mind, so many thoughts, so many things related to my experience or to my self-evaluation that would say, you're not the one to lift up your voice. You're not the one to say some of the things that you want to say. You're not even particularly in a great position of strength. In fact, if I'm going to be honest, the weakest time of my life has been this last couple years. I've been a leader. I came to Christ in 2004, or 2005 actually. So it's been about 20 years I've been walking or trying to follow him. That journey has led me on an interesting path, especially when you consider my origins or where I came from. Even though I grew up in a Christian family, I wouldn't say that I was a believer. I wouldn't say that unless I would only say that because it would happen to have been honest about what my family believed, almost like you kind of claim something because that's just what your reality has been, or that's the claims of your community have been. But that went away very early in life, particularly in my early teenage years. I was very much a troublemaker. And that trouble eventually turned to criminal activity, and I got pretty involved in drugs and a street life. And that's the lifestyle I wanted to live. And so thoughts about God or those kind of realities really weren't there, except for in some general sense. I mean, you know, there's a famous saying that there's no atheists in a foxhole, meaning that when you're in the middle of battle, or in hardships or life and death realities, that, you know, everybody believes in God. And because so many of circumstances, you know, some much more so than I, but you know, when you live in those kind of realities, it's, you know, there's, you're often confronted with life or death. And so, you know, sometimes you have thoughts toward the great beyond or a higher power, but as far as it being specific or articulated, that was rare, if not non-existent. And in those environments, nobody is evangelizing or trying to bring the message of change or the reality of God. Everybody's just trying to live their life and survive and try to enjoy themselves and gain as much as they can. So it was a shock as much to me as much as anybody else when my dad used his birthday to invite me to go to church and said, I never ask you for anything. All I ask for my birthday is you come to church. And I went with him, and that resulted in a series of events that concluded with a personal encounter with God that revolutionized my life. And so ever since then, I've really been trying to seek out and understand the one that I encountered in that moment and what that means for my life and what that means for others. Because I know that there's a lot of positions people take on what religions, they follow or belief systems they have, and there's a large growing number of people that now would just say I'm spiritual, which just kind of opens it up to, I kind of engage in that area, but I don't have any identity of, or I'm not going to conform unto any traditional religion in that sense. But for me, the immediate question was like, I just met God. So that means that you exist. And if you exist, you know who you are. Why do we struggle so much in knowing who you are? And so I often make I make the statement that when I had that encounter, it was an encounter with God, but the journey that I've gone on since then in attempting to know him has more and more revealed to me Jesus Christ. And not just in a traditional religious sense, but I'm trying to understand in the context of reality. Because if the claims of Christianity are true, then there was a human being that walked this planet, identified as the Son of God. In other words, the claims that he made and those that bore witness to him or followed him made was that he was God sent to reveal God and to do for humanity and in humanity what humanity could never do for itself. And so his path was entirely redemptive. And so I'm fascinated with the character of Jesus and the reality of Christ, but then the claim doesn't just it doesn't just rest or stop with like just certain claims about like a religious identity. It's what they all struggled with: belief, faith, and understanding. And what changed everything was the fact that he was raised from the grave. So if God has acted in human history and has literally took on flesh in himself, I'm sorry, and he has taken on flesh himself and lived the life that we all lived with the dependency, the needs, the temptations, the conflict, the harshness, the reality, the trauma, the joys, the relationships, everything that goes into existence, and ultimately died a death that did not, but did not stay dead, was resurrected. Then God is trying to tell, he's trying to deal with humanity. Like this is something that is bigger than simply having a doctrine or religion. This is something that is dealing with why we exist and God's activity in the earth. So I really have just been on a journey to understand that more and to understand why it's so easy to be, if God created this world and God did give us his son and he is resurrected, why is it so common to not believe in him or to know him or to recognize him, or even in communities that do believe, say even in the Christian sense, that there's so much disagreement and disunity and division. And it's like there has to be a better way because we need help. And so I've just been on a journey to seek that, but I just to seek out more answers so I can be effective in my generation. And sometimes I feel like I'm onto something, and then other times I feel like I'm in the middle of a wilderness. And that's really, wilderness would be the description that I would say of the last few years. Like I really have learned kind of what it means. I used to kind of chuckle at the term midlife crisis and kind of think, because I've always been someone that's valued strength and not wanting to be weak. And so in the past, I would think of that as just the weakness of men or women, that they were that vulnerable, that they were that susceptible to just all of a sudden be at a point in their life where they just have a crisis of existence. But now I understand that. because I didn't have much direction. I had lost hope in the direction that I was taking when I encountered God, and then he set me on a new course. I was always a problem with every school I attended from elementary school up into high school, where I only completed my freshman year before dropping out. Ultimately got my GED. But after I began to follow Jesus, I really felt a conviction to reclaim education, and so I did that. And the first thing I ever graduated was Bible school. And so I was all in on following God. What am I called to ministry? What do I need to do? And and even once I graduated from Bible school, I was hired by that Bible school. It's a very missional school. So I was very much involved in outreach, missions, evangelism, counseling, discipleship, teaching, organization, administration, all while continuing my degree work and getting my undergrad and my master's. And so I felt like I was in the midst of what I was called to do and just continued along that path. Graduated in 2012, hired in 2012, and began to progress through the organization to the point I became the director of the academic division, which is oversaw 9 departments and oversaw everything related to the school academically, teachers. So I had climbed the ladder, bro, as much as I could climb, and had influence. And there's a amazing international community. So you're talking about from 2012 through 2023, that's 11 years of influence internationally. I'm a teacher as well. And so by all accounts, I've been a leader and an instructor within the Christian community for a long time. 11 years kind of professionally, but even before that, I was involved with missions and youth ministry and just outreach on my own. So I did that immediately after I came to the Lord, try to be effective, try to help other people, try to connect more with God, and try to help others connect God. If something is real, it needs to be made real and experienced in real ways. But what's interesting is that after all those years and kind of came to this place where all of a sudden I just realized I was totally burnt out. I didn't know that was what it was. At first, I just knew that I was really tired. And I was also emotional, feeling very, processing things in very dramatic terms. Every little thing would seem to be a very big deal. And so just in talking with my wife, I wound up resigning, started developing some health issues, and so I stepped away. And that kind of unlocked a process of really learning where I was at. And that's how I came to understand what a midlife crisis was. And the midlife crisis is too generic of a term, because what it really means, at least in my experience, was that you are living your life and you are doing everything that you can to do what you think is right, to make progress, and you're coming to a place, and you've gone, oh, you know, multiple, you're going on 2 decades of investment of something, and you're seeking to come into fuller and fuller realities, and all of a sudden, what you find yourself is in the middle of the wilderness, and it's like running out of gas in the middle of nowhere. And what's crazy and scary about that is that getting more gas isn't just the solution, because even once there's more gas in the tank, you've lost confidence that even the destination you're heading towards is still where you're trying to go. And then you start thinking about, well, where do I want to go? And you don't have an answer for that. And you all of a sudden start feeling stuck and just trapped in your reality. And it's scary, because it's like I've been living my life for all this time to come into a place where now I'm questioning everything that I've decided. I'm mad at where I am. I'm in my 40s. I'm a man, and I don't have the answers that I feel that I should have as a man. Have I made a terrible mistake? Don't feel satisfied in even my pursuits as it pertains to God, and you start to question whether you were deceived in that respect, and is everything you believe and you have believed and put your confidence in, is it even true? How can I be in this place? It's very intense, and there's not an easy answer, and it's not like there's any just quick fix to it. It's something that I've had to walk through. And what is interesting is that as I've been walking through it, that's where I've been getting the motivation, or at least a still small voice inside that's saying, record where you're at. And I'm sitting there going, no, because if I'm going to reach out to people or put my voice out to people, I want it to be from a position of strength so that I can help them. But what keeps coming up is, no. Reach out, begin this process from a position of weakness, and you will help them. And you will help yourself. It's not even about like, oh, let me help you, like I have answers. That's not what I'm doing here. What I'm doing here is I'm opening up my insides in the hope that in sharing and being transparent and being honest and processing through things, that it'll simply help maybe others will identify with this and or derive something from it or get something from it. That just brings about a sharing in our common humanity, which just has a tendency to bring some form of hope and comfort and hopefully some encouragement for moving forward. That doesn't mean that everything that'll be gotten into is about being weak. That's not it. It's just this, I would more, if I'm going to describe it, I would say this is probably going to be more like a personal journal being exposed, being made open to others to read and to connect with. And I don't know what the extent of that will be. That's just the starting point. But if there is something that is effective here, if there is something that is helpful here, then I want to continue on in it, and I'm going to do it as long as I believe that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So there's questions. We're going to be questions of faith, questions of humanity, things that are related to daily life, navigating the things of life, and not from just from a position of trying to bring answers, but just from trying to process and just trying to be honest. I don't have everything together. I still have temptations, I still have struggles, there's weaknesses, and there's things that I'm working through now, and I am just at the starting point of a new season of life where I'm trying to face things, even some of the things that aren't new. I'm still facing everything again for the first time in a way. It's like going back to the drawing board. I have a comical statement that I make with my wife, and I've said it with a few others, but I say I feel like I'm in my 40s now asking myself, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I don't have the answer. Some of the things that I want are more experiential or character based. I want to see breakthroughs in my mind and in my heart that I haven't fully experienced when it comes to like peace, joy, self-confidence, like actually believing and accepting self. That's something that's always been difficult for me to do. I'm my worst critic. I'm the one that's held myself to the worst criticism, and sometimes my inner language towards myself, there's no other description for it but abusive, and I have to be really careful how to keep my inner voice from not rubbing my face in the mud and kicking me in the ribs, because that's just been a tendency. I'm brutal. I can be brutal with myself, and I want to see shifts in that area. I want to see shifts in my generation. I see that so much division has arisen up, and there's so much attempts at indoctrinations and people just trying to get to gaslight people to be on their side, whatever can provoke certain emotions or narratives. They do that, whether it's political, personal, whatever sect, religious, even the church, which is supposed to be a model of unity and how to navigate justice and forgiveness and love and a higher character, is often at the forefront of misrepresenting those very things and condescending down to sides that bicker and point fingers and lift up their voice to let everyone know how wrong they are and how right they are and how wrong others are. And so the only way cycles like that are broken is if we are different. I know because I myself am coming from a following Christ context that that'll probably be a large element of who is reached here, but I'm hoping that the transparency or the authenticity of the things that we get into and discuss will translate across boundary lines. Because I've always thought to myself, if what we're saying is really real and valuable, it should be recognizable by everyone. People should, they should recognize and say, oh, that's truth. There's something to that. Maybe I don't agree completely or see everything the way that somebody else sees, but there should be a, I believe that there can be grounds for a common unity, and I really want to promote that. And I want to not just sit back in my generation and do nothing. And if, and I've had so many questions about what to do, and I haven't had any grand strategies, but I have this small one. Just lift up your voice. Just lift up your voice. Put it out there. If it helps people, it helps people. If it reaches people, it reaches people. If it reaches no one, you're just, at least you're doing something. You're putting something out there. And so that's what I want to do. I'm going to be honest about things, honest about faith. Even as a leader, we struggle. There's been, for those of you that have, that are in a Christian community, and even those that are outside of it have probably seen, because it's been in the newspaper, prominent failures by highly recognizable Christian leaders. And I wonder how much of that is just pure moral compromise, just in and of itself, like somebody would do it no matter what, or do those moral compromises develop within a context of concealment because people feel like they're on a pedestal and that they're not allowed to go through or have the struggles that the average person has because they're supposed to be leading somebody? And I wonder if we had a more transparent and authentic culture. I wonder if we had an environment where people were being more honest and where even leaders that are on a high level can say, man, I am in a season where for some reason I'm being tempted with sexual temptation. And and be able to put it out there and relate to people and because nothing just happens. Things develop over time. There's a process. And so the process that is concealed and hidden from everybody will generally lead towards or has, I would say, has more of a possibility of leading towards giving into whatever thing is pulling at you. But if you're honest about the thing that is pulling at you, then it becomes something that, the Bible talks about things like bear one another's burdens. That means the thing that is hard for you to carry, the thing that's weighing you down, which can be temptations, it can be frustrations, it can be loss of hope, it can be just the difficulty of a season. You're dealing with somebody with health issues, your schedule is hard to juggle, you have a family. You need a community to come around you and help to bear the burdens. It can just be navigating life and questions. But if we can be more open and just honest, and I want to use my platform and my experience and status, if you want to call that, as a leader, at least to the degree in which I have that capacity, I want to use it to kind of transform the norms and and not lead from a pedestal, but to lead from a mirror. And to put that out there and just to be honest. So there's a lot of things we'll get into. We'll get into issues of the day, processes, things like that, personal struggles, the way in which life is being faced. We'll get into scripture at times, trying to draw connections with real life. There's a lot, there's really endless possibilities, and my prayer is that this will reach many and bring about a community of people that are wanting to find a common unity and live their life to the fullest, and in wanting to see the fullness of life and breakthrough and the fullness of community, and that will be in the context of not being ashamed of weakness or facing ourselves exactly where we're at, so that we can get out of the woulda, shoulda, coulda, and get into the what is, so that we can be real with ourselves and then move forward. So, just to close out, I have recorded this episode so many times and never posted it. So this is the last recording I'm going to do, because I have this tendency towards perfectionism. And I want the audio to be perfect. I want every word that I say to be exactly perfect. And I'm saying that because even right now, as I'm coming to a close, I'm like, I don't know if I'm happy with this. I don't know if I've said everything I wanted to say. I don't know if I'm really clearly giving them a vision for what is here. I don't know if I used clear enough language, or if I sounded like a verbal salad, or if I was more vague than it was. There's just that voice that just comes in to try to say, it's not perfect. It's not good enough. You could do better. This isn't going to reach anybody, or whatever that. I just want to. Right now, we're talking about transparency, so that's want to be what is there. But I'm taking the stand. Shout out to my wife. Shout out to Amy. Shout out to Aaron. Those that have encouraged me said, just do it. Just do it. Just record it. It doesn't have to be a perfect episode. It doesn't have to be comprehensive and a and an expression of the divine perfection. Like none, just I'm just gonna record and I'm gonna send. And this thing will grow over time. The quality will grow over time. The details will grow over time. But right now, what matters is doing it and getting it out there. So for everyone that hears this, welcome, and I hope this journey is fruitful for all of us. Much grace.